It's time for What's Up with the Leader of the Opposition, Chris Hipkins.
Morena, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Good. G'day, how are you?
Yeah, good.
How are you?
Very good, thank you. Very good. Enjoying a little bit of Wellington sunshine and counting down the days till Christmas.
Lovely. Good to hear it. Yes, it's definitely getting to that crunch point in the year, isn't it? And there's a lot to unpack. We've got the latest policy announcement from the Labor Party, the Family Doctor Loan Scheme. Let's delve into this a little bit. I know that there's been a little bit of perhaps a bit of criticism from people worried that it's not going to do enough to increase the amount of doctors that we actually have. What's your response to this?
So our first policy commitment was 3 free doctor's visits for everybody. That then raises the question of how can we make sure everybody can get access to that. So making it free to go to the doctors is a great thing. It'll ease a huge amount of pressure, but you've got to know you can go and see a doctor. So we've got about 4.5 million doctor's visits a year that we can free up by giving them better tools around triaging and around using AI assistance to really improve their productivity. But we need more doctors in place. And we've had feedback from new doctors, from newer doctors, but it's really hard for them to open practices or to buy into existing practices. And when they can't do that, they either give up or they go overseas. And we need to keep them here. So we've got more doctors coming through our medical schools now. The extra increase in doctors is going to start to graduate in the next few years. This gives them an opportunity to set up practices and start here in New Zealand. If we kept our doctors here, we wouldn't have the shortage of doctors that we currently do.
Is more required, though, in terms of supporting these doctors and keeping them in New Zealand? We've had a lot happen this year with strikes across the healthcare sector, and it feels as though things are sort of in crisis. Do we need to be forking out a little bit more money for our doctors and healthcare workers?
Unequivocally, yes. We need to do more to keep our doctors here, to make sure that they stay part of our health system. So in primary care, in addition to providing 3 free doctor's visits for free, which of course is going to provide plenty of demands to keep them busy, we're increasing the funding that doctors get to provide primary care, and we're giving them extra financial support to set up or to buy into primary care practices so that our next generation of doctors makes their home here, sets up primary care here, and is delivering that good tradition of a family doctor in your community for all New Zealanders.
Will there be targeted sort of policies? I think of these family doctors and the initiative that this is going to support, I think particularly of spaces within Te Ao Māori and Pacifica communities where this is really important. So I'm interested as to what specific sort of policies around this might be supporting those communities more that are more at risk of missing out on doctor's visits.
Yeah, so there'll be 50 of these low-interest, they start with a no-interest loan for a couple of years and then they go to a low-interest loan, and there'll be 50 of them available each and every year. So if you think about that over, say, 5 years, there's 250 more people in primary care as a result of that. And that's just part of our overall approach to saying we need to provide more support to keep our doctors in our communities. This is one element of it, increasing what they call capitation funding. That's another element of it. We want to keep our talent here at home.
I guess as well, there's sort of been a bit of a feeling this year amongst healthcare workers, particularly in the government's response to strikes, there being the obvious sort of lack of support in terms of financials, but potentially as well just a more symbolic sort of appreciation for our healthcare workers. Do you feel this sentiment amongst the people you've talked to?
Yeah, and this is a government that seems to have contempt for the health system, and everybody who works in it. When they go to work every day to provide good healthcare to all of us, and they deserve our respect. Bargaining, particularly nurses and doctors, that can be fought for any government. So I can't stand here and say that we didn't have, tense moments in bargaining with doctors and nurses. I think every government does. But I still hugely respected the work that they did. And of course, we did work really hard to get a settlement with them. Current government seem to think that they can turn the public against doctors and nurses and that's a way through. I think that's just a terrible approach.
Yeah, 100%.
I want to move now and just touch briefly on the latest with the McSkimming scandals, because it is ongoing, and I feel as though everyone this week is starting to perhaps have a bit more of a conversation about whether this is symbolic of a greater fundamental issue within the New Zealand police that we need to address to ensure that this doesn't happen again. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm so disappointed by the whole Mixgiving saga. I think the police leadership really let the police down. They let the woman, Ms. Z, as she has been referred to in all of the reporting and inquiries and so on, they really let her down. She deserved to be treated with far, far more respect than that, and continue to do so. So, you know, Andrew Costa's interview over the weekend, I think, was just rubbing salt in the wound, where he'd previously said he accepted responsibility and he was sorry for what had happened. He then basically undid all of that and continued to cast aspersions on her character and continued to paint Jevon Mixgiving as if he was a victim. And that just suggests that lessons aren't being learned here.
Mm. Okay, let's go there and let's talk about this interview that happened over the weekend with Andrew Costa, because he claimed that you, as former police minister, knew more about this than you're letting on, as well as current police minister Mark Mitchell, and it's becoming a bit of a hot potato game of liability and blame. Do you feel that you could have done more when you were police minister?
I just knew nothing about it, and so I totally do not accept and reject what Andrew Costa said about him giving me any briefing. That just never happened. And I was, you know, he alleges that he mentioned it in passing on a road trip that we had in the South Island when we were visiting police stations. The other person who was with me was my press secretary. So I checked with her and I was like, did I miss something here? Was this mentioned and did I forget it or did I miss it? And she also was adamant that it never happened. So I think what's really disappointing, though, is if you take all of that aside, so I don't think that ever happened. But it clearly was just talked down, minimised, not taken seriously right from the beginning. And they're still doing it. And I just think that's such a terrible signal for the police.
Mm. Mm. This happened at such a senior level. And as police minister, if you did know nothing about it, what are we going to change moving forward so that, you know, these sort of things can't be swept under the rug?
Well, I fully support what the current government are doing here, actually. They've proposed to appoint an Inspector General of Police. So this will be someone independent. It could be, for example, someone of a judge level. You know, it could be someone at the level of a judge who's in police all the time, monitoring what they're doing, who can investigate any investigations and say, actually, hang on a minute, you're not dealing with this appropriately, who can report to ministers, they can report to the commissioner, they can report to the public, and give a much greater degree of scrutiny on what the police are doing. I think that's a really good thing. I've said that the Labor Party, and me in particular, we strongly support that.
Mm. Yeah. Other than that, what would you do, I mean, if you were in government, to kind of restore people's faith in the police?
I think there does still need to be an ongoing conversation about police culture and how we can improve police culture, particularly at those senior levels. This is not new. Mm. I think back to the Louise Nicholas, awful things that happened to Louise Nicholas and the very, very public nature of the inquiries and so on around there. And yet here we are 10, 15 years later still having these conversations. It's, you know, there's got to be a much greater focus on shifting that police culture, particularly, as it would now seem, at the very senior levels of police, when they are the ones who should be driving the culture change. They seem to be some of the worst in terms of not dealing with it.
Mm. I mean, yeah, you only need to look to the whakapapa of the New Zealand Police Force to see a whole range of communities who have been expressing this lack of trust and this sort of
growing resentment, I think,
for a long, long, long time. And so I wonder, do you feel as though this current government is doing enough to hold police accountable?
I think that they're taking some really positive steps in the right direction. So I think an Inspector General of Police is good. I think some of that deep mistrust in elements of our community is deeply rooted and it's built up over generations. Mm. And so I wouldn't necessarily lay the blame for that at the foot of the current police. So let's take two examples. Our Rainbow community. Previously, the police were legally required because homosexuality was illegal. And so that put police on the wrong side of the Rainbow community for a long, long time. And I know that since we've made so much progress, you know, homosexuality was legalised, gay marriage has been legalised, the police have made a real effort to reach out to Rainbow communities and really improve that relationship. But another one, Māori, there's, you know, 180-odd years worth of issues here that have, in many cases, been driven by central government, and the police have simply been the enforcers of bad decisions made by central government. And so police, I know they're trying very hard to improve their working relationships with Māori. There are many more senior Māori within the police now, and that's a good thing. Many more of our ethnic community at senior levels within the police, and that's a good thing. But I think to fix it, we've got to acknowledge that the roots of this go a long, long way back.
I understand that, but I guess it's just a matter of ensuring that historical injustice doesn't become the sort of scapegoat for current scandal.
I think what the lesson of the last few months is historic injustice isn't just a historic injustice if it's still happening. And I think the police have got to work really hard to make sure it's not still happening.
Right. Well, that's just about all we've got time for. But thank you so much, Chris Hipkins, for joining us for another Kōrero this morning. We won't talk to you until next year, so enjoy your Christmas and summer break.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Have a great summer break. I hope you get to enjoy lots of sunshine, and we'll speak again next year.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Ka kite.
Bye.
Bye.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Leader of the Opposition, Chris Hipkins.